Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing quite a few things. Kevin Feige has become Marvel's chief creative officer. He's in control now. We get to be part of Damage Control now with a new VR experience.
All that right after this ad that we have no control over. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Jeffrey Beauregard Randall.
Beauregard is my middle name now.
I think I've given you that before. I don't know why. I think it fits. I don't know why.
Why does it fit?
I don't know, man. It's
too fancy for me.
It's funny that you think Beauregard is fancy. I think of it as just like real Southern. I mean, it is real Southern. But yeah, anyway, okay.
It's fancy Southern.
We are covering some news and feedback today. Some just general quick news stories. First off, we're going to do something different. We're going to add a new thing. Every episode now, especially news and feedback episodes, we're going to read a 5-star review from Apple Podcasts. So
I think it's called iTunes.
No, it's not anymore. They changed it. They're discontinuing the existence of iTunes. It's now called Apple Podcasts.
I'm going to hang on to it as long as I can. You're never going to get me.
All right. Well, it's called Apple Podcasts now. We're just doing this because we've never done a good job of letting people know to go do 5-star reviews. We say it like once every 6 months. So we're putting it as part of the show now. Partially because of that, and partially because we also are having to really pare down the amount of feedback we're able to do, because we're getting so much now. So we're basically really focusing our feedback on things that will spur on conversation. The one exception is every week we're going to pick one 5-star review and read it as on the feedback episode. So what's our 5-star review today?
Braceface07 said, "I love this thing 3000.
Duh.
This podcast is perfect for MCU fans and fanatics. I feel like they speak for me when they release an episode. I hate the Incredible Hulk and Thor the Dark World, who doesn't? And I feel like the Winter Soldier might be competition for best MCU movie against Endgame. I mean, it had a better car chase scene than Need for Speed, and I know what you're thinking. You saw Need for Speed?"
Thank you, Braceface. That's great. I really like something he says there about the show, or she, I'm not even sure.
They.
I think it's true. One of the things about the show is we are a fan cast. We're not beholden to Marvel. We love what they do. We really do. But we're willing to say when certain things suck. Certain things suck. Yeah. Certain things really suck. So, so thanks for joining us here on this fan cast of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So let's get into some news. How about that?
Yeah, man. So top of the news rundown, I guess, that I gave is that Kevin Feige has become Marvel's chief creative officer. He has been installed above the jerk face, the pearl mutter, if you will.
Yeah, this is great news. Right, there's nothing negative about this. And the big thing is he now is over not only the movies, which he's been over for a while, not only the comics and the animation, which is great, but also big deal is that he is now over the TV division completely.
Yep,
all the separate heads of those divisions now answer to Kevin Feige.
Yep. The Hydra has been tamed by Kevin Feige.
Yeah, loving it. I'm loving it. I'm really, really excited about this because we've talked about it many times. You know, connectivity. It's what we love about this stuff. It's one of the major reasons I'm here is because of the connectivity. And we might be losing some of that connectivity with the going forward from some of the shows that have been created. But it sounds like any show going forward from now on will be connected. TV and movies, and not only the Disney Plus, but all the other TV shows are also coming under their head, which I'm really hopeful that they won't scrap some of the things that have happened. I really hope Defenders stays in, and I really hope that Runaways and Cloak and Dagger continue and are connected.
Oh, yes.
Because I think they're going to cross over this season, which I'm really excited about.
And that's happening in a couple of months.
Yeah, it's real soon.
That's soon.
Real soon. So we'll be covering all of that stuff, especially with the crossover. That's really exciting. We just need to see, with Kevin Feige now being the head of that, we might actually see TV characters go into the movies and vice versa. And that's really only happened a handful of times.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the only time that I can think of TV having done anything toward the movies is when Jarvis showed up in Endgame.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing. That's the biggest, like, explicit crossover we've had. So
yeah,
it's real cool. Really, really excited that this can. I don't know. It all comes down from Kevin Feige, and he's got a lot on his shoulders now. But he's done a great job running the movies. Let's see if we can tie in the TV to all this. I'm really pumped.
What do you think that he was thinking? Like, oh man, that was a good run. You know, a nice 11 years of filmmaking.
Yeah.
You know, maybe now we can kind of like turn it down a little bit, tone down, get a little more personal in these stories, maybe slow down.
He can finally rest.
I can finally rest just a little bit. And then they're just like, oh, by the way, take over everything. Like, you thought you had a chance to rest from the movies? Nah. Now we got TV shows on Disney+. We got TV shows on Hulu. Like, here comes everything.
I do think they very deliberately, both for our sake and theirs, took a break after Spider-Man. I mean, they've got like it's been the longest period without a Marvel movie for the last, you know, it's going to be like almost 8 months without a Marvel movie. That's been the longest time in years. So I think they're deliberately taking a bit of a break, but yeah, it sounds like they're going to hit the ground running when it happens.
Correction there, sir. It's about 10 months.
Oh, wow.
Because it's going July to
May, right?
May, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So, oof, yeah, long time.
That's worse.
Now, I guess I was thinking that we are getting Disney+ series in
January. Yeah, we are getting content. We're getting Disney+ series. We're getting The Runaways. We're getting Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah.
Like, we're getting stuff, just not movie stuff.
We are. I almost feel like the Falcon and Winter Soldier is movie. It's the movie characters, and it's being made on a different scale than all the other TV shows. So it almost feels like the movies are still happening. You know, like that is a movie slotted to drop there. Which I'm pumped, man.
Like some of the stuff that I've read is that the things like the She-Hulk show on was it Disney+ is getting a budget of something like $25 million per episode.
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah, there's some money to pump into these things, and there's going to be a solid production budget going into this. So, you know, just having the movie people show up in the series is not, like, that's cool and all, but if they're going to give them the production budget similar, you know, in vain to what the movies are doing, that's going to be the huge part.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. I think that's spot on. I really do. All right. The other piece of news is this damage control thing that we haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah.
They're putting out a in-universe VR experience. They did this a few years ago with just a VR experience that you could watch. Did you check that out?
Yeah, you stuck that on my head.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Back when you still lived in the same region as me,
same region.
I know. I was trying to think of something bigger than state. But yeah, you're just a state away. You're only a state away. Back when you lived over here in Bama, I was like, watch this. Back when we used to actually do this show in the same room, which we used to do almost every week. That was good times. Good times.
Looking back on that fondly.
Yeah. So
anyway,
this is going to be a bigger VR experience with, it looks like actual gameplay, not just a VR experience to watch, which is a big deal. That's real cool.
Yeah, and it from what I read, it's going to be released at locations or at a franchise of locations called The Void, which kind of spooks me a little bit because The Void was Robert Reynolds the Sentry's alternate form when he became like super destructive and deadly and bad. Apparently it's being released at this franchise called The Void, and they've got several locations all over the place in multiple
states?
No, cities? Countries, actually.
Countries, okay.
US, Canada, Malaysia, and the United Arab Emirates in Dubai, and several states. It looks like the closest one to you, sir, is Atlanta, and the closest one to me is Orlando.
Well, I will absolutely be going. I wonder if it will be on the home VR systems.
I have not read anything about that.
Okay. Well, there you go. I have a PSVR, which is about to become outdated because the PS5 is coming out soon. Yeah, I mean, it's still like a year away or something, but still, that's sooner than I would like. I'd like to keep playing my VR games that are coming out, but we'll see. I don't know. I'm thinking about getting the Oculus Quest too, just for the whole no wires and being able to walk around thing. That's pretty cool.
That's real dangerous, man.
Which part?
Being able to walk around with the thing on your head.
You know, it has little sensors that let you know not to run into things. I mean, with my PSVR, there's no such sensors, and I have definitely like been playing Beat Saber, which is a music-based lightsabering game. You have to try it if you haven't. It's like a workout, and it's Star Wars, and it's music. It's so much fun. But I have definitely like punched things, like hard things, and like almost broken my hand because I danced too close to the TV and like punched the. Not the TV itself, but the TV
stand that it was on.
Yeah,
yeah. All right. So the damage control VR experience coming to the select Void locations has actually already started. It started October 18th.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So you know, book it now if you get the chance.
That just started. I will absolutely go. I'm in Atlanta like next weekend. I'm gonna go and I will report back on the VR experience.
Do it. So trailers are available on iTunes or not? Fuck. So trailers are available on YouTube. Check it out, guys. Matt, let us know how it is.
I will. I absolutely will.
I think you're going to like it because it seems to put the user in one of the many Iron Man suits that had been made. So you get to be a part of damage control that way.
Yeah, that's exciting.
That's your jam.
That's my jam. I'm excited. I really like VR in general, and I think it's the wave of the future. They've got it in Orlando, by the way, as well. So
yep,
you can go. You can do this thing.
I could. Probably. It's going to take a little bit of logistics, a little coordination of everything.
Yeah,
for sure. I might not be able to go for a couple of weeks because of popcorn.
Yeah, I actually just did my schedule, and I am not in Atlanta next week. I'm not in Atlanta for like another month. So
you just lied to me.
I did. I thought I was. I thought I'm there almost every week or every other week, so I'm kind of bummed that I'm not, but as soon as I get over there, I will absolutely do this and report back my findings.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's get into some feedback. We've got someone from our MCU cast chat group. Because we're not able to cover as much feedback as much percentage of the feedback that's coming in, we now have a MCU cast chat group where we can you can kind of engage with us and other listeners. So it's just a little easier on Facebook with the group instead of a page. The pages, you just don't get any interaction at all, really.
It's true. So Rod Mills hit us up on the group, said, I've been thinking of an X-Men origin theory lately that's pretty simple. What if mutants had been around this entire time, but the X-Gene has just been activated in a few people throughout the years, like Charles and Magneto, and after the snaps occur, the X-Gene starts to activate more rapidly? S.H.I.E.L.D. has always known about Charles and others, but have kept them under close supervision, and now that there's more and more mutants, Fury, knowing Charles personally, helps him set up a school and puts him over all the new mutants. This keeps older mutants' history intact, and is a simple story that casuals can follow, and I think most hardcore fans would be satisfied with.
I think this is pretty genius. We have been having so many conversations about how to kind of retcon in the X-Men, you know?
Yeah.
And truth is, especially if they're going with a version of the X-Men like we talked about, where it's more the civil rights movement instead of World War II, where we have, you know, Xavier possibly being black, Xavier and Magneto being black characters who dealt with civil rights issues. in the more direct civil rights era, I think that like that could easily work. And I don't know what if there's something in the canon, I'm not remembering it, where we literally wouldn't know about any mutants. You know, it's very possible there were a couple of mutants, and we have an episode or like a flashback similar to what we have with Ant-Man, you know, where like Ant-Man existed. We just didn't know about it, you know?
Yeah. Well, the issue that I would have to take with that is that at the end of The Winter Soldier, Widow let loose all of the secrets that S.H.I.E.L.D. had. So if S.H.I.E.L.D. knew about the X-Men or knew about mutants at all, it would be out there in public knowledge.
Yes, that's true, but like it could have just been one, like if there weren't that many of them, it could have just been two or three weird guys that they know about, you know what I mean? There's a lot of other things they know about that the world knows about now, and it may be just a mass of information that was released.
It just they got buried.
They got lost in the shuffle. The prevalence of their power might not have been as noticed, but then once, you know, more mutants start appearing, they start to become more of a threat. You know, and the fear that it really is created in the X-Men comic books, I feel like has a lot to do with them being teenagers and like these powers kind of coming out of nowhere. Suddenly your teenager has the power to kill you.
Yeah.
And can do it by mistake. Like it's suddenly all of your teenagers have the ability to become weapons. It's almost like the fear of whatever teenagers are doing. They're rock music. They're vaping. They're superpowers. You know?
Yep.
It's exactly that. That's why I think we identify in many ways with the X-Men is like as teenagers when we're all reading this stuff, we're like, yeah, parents don't understand us. They want to control us, you know, and I'm making it sound lamer than it is, but it's a story about, you know, being marginalized, and I think making them teenagers when they get their powers really became it allowed a whole generation of kids to identify with these characters, you know?
Yeah, absolutely it did. It's also, when you put it that way, though, it kind of makes me identify more with the parents now,
because, right. Like,
teenagers suck. Like, yes. I would not want teenagers to have powers like that.
Yeah, my buddy said that he realized he was old and a dad when he, you know that song from a few years ago, I'm gonna marry her anyway.
Yeah,
he was like suddenly he realized he identified more with the dad than the kid who's like gonna marry you anyway, marry that girl, like, which, you know,
yep.
I'm all for women, fuck the patriarchy. Marry who you want. Don't let your dad stop you. But he also, like, him just realizing, like, oh, I get the dad in that story more than the kid. you know, he realized he was an old man.
You know, I didn't hear the actual, like, original version of that song until after I had heard a father do a rendition, like, a father's version of it. Like, why you gotta call me rude?
That's some real dad shit that you heard that version first.
Isn't it?
That's an older man thing than identifying with it is not even knowing the real song before you heard a parody from a dad's perspective.
Yep.
Oh, is this a parody of that dad song I heard?
No, it was like, I heard it and I was just like, what is he singing about? Who is he singing to? And then I had to go and find out, and it was like, oh, yeah, no, I still agree with him.
That's very funny. Very, very funny.
Yep. I let it out. I'm getting old.
Getting old. I think very much Rob is correct. It's very likely. That is probably the most likely scenario of bringing the X-Men into the universe, is just they exist. Why? We were so sure with certain things that surely they would have been mentioned, but part of it is because we were thinking they had to be, there had to have been a lot of them, but it really could just be there were a few, and that Professor X and Magneto exist and maybe a few others, but not many. I like this theory. Yep. I like it.
It's, I mean, The story in the X-Men is usually, though, that like these people have been there all along, you know, kind of in the shadows and under the streets and hush hush, like you haven't known about it. So I mean, it's easier when there's only a few of them for that to be so, but like it seems like the story is always like, oh, this guy's, you know, like for instance, Apocalypse is like, oh, this guy's been around forever,
right?
And you know, he's been this destructive entity forever, and like, okay, well, where has he been?
Right. Well, you could see that being a thing that, you know, just like Apocalypse has been dormant for long enough that he's fallen into legend or whatever.
Yeah.
And certain few characters are real, and maybe S.H.I.E.L.D. / Hydra knew they were a threat, but they weren't mentioned because they were one of many threats. But once they start to build a school and build a brotherhood, like, it starts to be, oh, we need to talk about this.
They're gathering. We gotta discuss this.
They're gathering, and all the teenagers are just randomly getting powers. Like, that's such – that just that visceral thing happening in the MCU. I mean, and it's what they tried to do with the Inhumans on S.H.I.E.L.D., and I think they had bigger plans for the Inhumans, but didn't use it because now they have the X-Men back. And let's face it, that was always a ploy to get around the X-Men. The idea that a bunch of teenagers are just going to start getting powers, like that could be a really fun story to tell in the MCU.
It could. And it's going to be, I think that with Fox having been bought, or the properties that Fox had been being bought by Disney, is a really good thing. Pulling them back to the MCU, giving that sort of story over to Feige and the people that he trusts is a very good idea. We're going to see a lot better stories out of that.
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure.
Absolutely. All right, so next up, Wayne Brewer said to us, does the world know how the Avengers saved everyone? Does everyone know about the time traveling? This could be a major story point moving forward. I would think the Avengers would need to guard the time travel secrets very closely. If governments of the world, villains, or anyone really, were to discover the secrets to time travel, it would open up a whole bunch of worlds of problems. I'm very curious how or if this will be addressed going forward.
Yeah, this is a really interesting point, Wayne. We know that they know that Iron Man saved everyone, so it sounds like they know something, but yeah, what do they know? What was the movie called in the movie?
Endgame.
No, inside of Far From Home, there was a movie about the snapping, or the snapture.
It was just a reel on the news, the school news.
Oh, no, that's what I'm talking about. In the on the plane, there's a bunch of documentaries that he flips through.
Oh.
And I can't remember what that's called.
The first on the list of available films for the in-flight entertainment is one called The Snap.
Okay, that's what I thought I remembered, was something about The Snap. So they know about The Snap, and they know about probably the unsnap, since they know that, and they know that Tony died. But yeah, there's nothing about time travel yet revealed. It's interesting. I could absolutely see that getting out, though, and that being an interesting story.
Yeah,
I dig it.
The other films are Finding Wakanda.
Yeah.
There was Hunting Hydra, which is likely inspired by The Winter Soldier.
Yep.
And then there's Nova, Einstein-Rosen Bridges with Dr. Eric Selvig.
That's super fun.
The final one is Heart of Iron, the Tony Stark story.
Yeah. Okay. So, there's no evidence that they know anything about the time travel aspects of the story.
Yeah.
So
not yet.
Not yet. And I do think that will have to factor in, and I do think it'll have to be a secret. Or if they're smart, they'll keep it secret. I could see maybe they weren't smart, and that hubris comes back to haunt them. Because, you know, it's the storyline. We just recently watched it. The storyline of Into the Spider-Verse is that the multiverse is at risk because Fisk thinks he can go back in time or go to another universe and retrieve his family. You could absolutely see that story playing out here. I mean, I can even see it with the Fisk. Like, they could use that exact story with Fisk coming in, you know, if Vanessa died or left him or whatever, you could totally see a Fisk story where he wants to go back and retrieve a Vanessa that hadn't died or left him.
Honestly, they could use what happened in Into the Spider-Verse as the catalytic event, you know, because like that whole thing could have just started the domino effect of collapsing universes.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Any of that's possible.
Totally. Yeah, I love those thoughts. Love those thoughts.
Yep.
All right, next we got a voicemail from Miss Rebecca here. All right, let's play that.
Hey, Jeff and Matt. My name's Rebecca. I'm calling in from Connecticut. I found you guys shortly after Infinity War, and I think that you have far and away the best podcast for MCU fans. I get the sense that you two are very different people. Jeff likes spoilers, and Matt hates them. Jeff's into the stranger aspects of the comics, and Matt's more about the character stories. And yet you are always courteous, building on what the other person has to say, and interested in hearing different perspectives on analysis. What you guys do, frankly, is what the world needs more of right now. Appreciating good work, inviting others to share opinions, and modeling friendship and the willingness to change your mind when confronted with a good idea. I've listened to other podcasts where they focus on social justice criticism, emphasis on the criticism, and a third where they focus on jokes and seem more like casual viewers, but what sets your work apart is that you guys focus on your love for these movies and shows, and that's what the MCU fans are here for. It's the fact that you actually seem to deeply enjoy the stories Marvel brings to the table and are interested in seeing them continue to produce quality work. So that's what I've called to say. Thank you for the work that you do. And one last thing. Out of curiosity, I went back and listened to your first episode, the discussion of Guardians 1, and it was really jarring to hear some of the edgy jokes and one of you casually drop the words bitch and retard. I suppose we were all pretty different people 5 years ago, but juxtaposing that episode, of which there were still many heartfelt moments and good points made with the episodes you've released now, I can see how much work you guys have put into relating to your audience and examining your own behavior, and that really gives me hope for the future. So, thanks again.
Wow. I really want to play that feedback because I really, really appreciated it, Rebecca. Firstly, that is really important to me. The idea of disagreeing and being able to have conversations. And she's very right on that, like, we need more of that in the world right now. And so the idea that she thinks our show provides a window into that really means a lot to me. So thank you, Rebecca. That means a ton. And as for off-color jokes in the beginning, I feel very bad about some of that. I'm pretty embarrassed.
I honestly,
I'm really shocked. I don't even want to say it now, even in reference. I am very shocked that the word retard made it into the podcast. Bitch, I totally get. I use that word now from time to time. In the proper context, I don't mind using that word now. But the word retard has been pretty offensive to me for a long time. So I don't know. And I edit these. So either I said it, and which would be shocking, or Jeff said it and I left it in, which either way I'm surprised by and I apologize for. Yeah, it's really important to me right now where we are politically and where we are just in the world, being able to listen to other points of view and also being willing to admit when we're just real wrong about things. And so, like, I don't know, that feedback really meant a lot to me. So thank you, Rebecca. I don't know
where she's pulling this admitting that we're wrong thing from, because you have not yet once said that Iron Man 3 was bad.
I don't even know. I'd have to go back and listen. I don't know that, you know, I'm taking her word for it that we had certain words in there and stuff. And like, I do apologize for that in the past. Like, I really, there's such a strong drive in us, and I feel this every day, and I'm trying to learn to fight against it, to want to defend our previous selves. Like, I feel like everyone does that. And like, part of growth is being like, oh no, I was bad before and I need to get better. And I think that's cool that she sees that in the show. That's just real cool.
You know, you say that you want to defend your previous self, and honestly, like, she said that we said those things, like, yeah, I was an idiot. Like, I would even probably go so far as to say, is like, people who listen to us right now, don't go back and listen to us then. We're idiots. It was terrible. Like, we've grown as reviewers, so to speak, away from just the Kevin Smith way of just telling you what happened in the movie and then geeking out about it. I mean, I still do that a lot. I do the whole, like, this was my favorite scene. But that also spawns conversation. Especially when it's just the two of us. But back then we were just going through the beats of the movie,
yeah,
and describing it.
Yeah. We've changed the way we do this a lot. And we've just learned, honestly, we've learned from each other, learned from doing it, and learned from, other podcasters we've worked with, honestly, the Superhero Ethics guys have been really, working with Matthew S. Fox and stuff has been really big for me. Like, I really consider the ethics of these shows a lot more than I used to. And so I really appreciate those guys. Just really, really, doing this and like just being thoughtful about it. At the time I was just like, I like podcasts and I like the MCU. Let's start one. And it's really been a cool experience to see it grow. So thanks, Rebecca. Really appreciate that feedback. Really, really cool. By the way, if you really like to hear people talk about, things and completely disagree, but still love each other, you should check out the Orville Universe podcast. And it's not like me and Jeff don't disagree on some big issues, but like,
we do disagree.
We do. We have big disagreements, but we tend to stay away from kind of politics and religion on this show. But the Orville is so about moral issues, and it's about politics and religion at times. And like, so me and Matthew S. Fox get into it, and you know, like I said, still care about each other, still friends, but can really get into that. I really enjoy doing that. I think it's important to see. And so that's cool that Rebecca's noticed that about this cast.
All right, so next up, Gavin Fry sent us an email. What kind of interesting mashups do you think would be cool to have in the What If series? And one more thing that'll make you not sleep at night. The MCU has been in an alternate universe the whole time. So what was the original universe?
If that is theory is true, that the MCU that we've been watching is the alternate universe where he went back and visited Peggy, and so the entire thing we've been watching is an alternate universe. It's basically the same, except Cap never shows up at the end.
Yeah, he just never comes back.
Yeah, that's the theory anyway. Cap never comes back.
Which is so sad.
That's it. This the universe would be very similar. It's just Cap disappears on that stage or whatever, not stage, platform. That's the word I was looking for.
And it's kind of a stage.
Sorry, musician talking.
it's a raised platform. It's clearly a stage.
and then he disappears and then never shows back up. That's it. That's the difference. I mean, obviously there's going to be small butterfly effect problems from him existing, but the idea is that he tried to stay out of the timeline as much as possible, so to get them back to this point. So he apparently was successful enough that he still left this timeline. He just never came back.
Yeah. You know, what would be interesting along with that is in memoriam video or whatever in Spider-Man, in Far From Home, they show that Captain America was dead, that Steve Rogers was dead. What if Far From Home was in that universe where he left and never came back?
Okay.
Because, I mean, technically he's not dead in at the end of it in Endgame. Technically he's still there. And he's passing on the mantle, so somebody else is going to be Captain America. But it seems that they think that Captain America, at least Steve Rogers, is dead.
Yeah, I think that's probably just a public story. But it'd be weird if this is an alternate universe already.
I don't know. I mean, we've already we, this podcast, have already discussed Into the Spider-Verse, so they're free to use it now.
Yeah, we're going to allow it. And our next podcast, we're going to allow them to put Venom into the universe.
No, we're not.
Sorry.
No, we're not.
We're going to have to.
No.
I guess we'll allow it, Feige. So I don't know about being the alternate universe. What do you think about this? What other mashups do you want to see in the What If series? Give me three. Go.
Yeah, okay. I want to see Namor and the Thing being the same person.
Namor and the Thing.
He doesn't swim. He just sinks.
Just the king of Atlantis that like just walks on the ground.
He's of what the keeps ocean. It. He's what keeps it submerged. He's an anchor. Oh,
it's pretty good. That was a pretty good off the dome. Off the dome. That was pretty good. I don't think I can beat that.
Oh man.
Let's see. Okay. I'm gonna go with mashing up. Mashing up Quicksilver and Arnim Zola. At the moment of Quicksilver's death, the computer that's still alive is Arnim Zola. He's downloaded himself into an Ultron bot, and he gives himself... He infuses himself into the brain of Quicksilver and takes over, finally has a body, and now we have a really fast Arnim Zola running around.
I don't know that I'm okay with that.
Sorry, just pick two random characters.
All right.
Yours worked right. out. Mine didn't so much. Let's move on.
Let's not focus on that.
Hey, speaking of Arnim Zola.
Hey, look at that. So, Drew sent us a message about the first Avenger. Arnim Zola used the Tesseract's energy to make weapons for Hydra. Does that mean that the people shot with those were teleported somewhere?
So, I don't think so. I do not think so. Because the same energy is used to make Captain Marvel, and she just blows stuff up. She's not teleporting people. I think it's just the idea is they use the Tesseract as an energy source. They're not actually doing the thing the Tesseract does. They're just using it for its energy to create these energy weapons.
Yeah. Clearly siphoning off energy is different from activating it. Duh.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're supposed to...
I guess that's how we're supposed to view it. But I do love the theory that a bunch of World War II soldiers...
they're just popped off over to Vormir or wherever.
Yes. Like, what if we got... somehow, like, a team of the Ravagers. Like, the Ravagers land on a planet in, like, 1950, and they find a battalion of World War II soldiers that have reformed and are out in the galaxy, and they've formed their battalion. They've been taking care of each other on this random planet, making it, getting by for 10 years. And then they like join the ranks or like learn from the Ravagers or somehow pay for, you know, access, or maybe they're working there. I love this story. This sounds like a great story. Like a battalion is working off the debt that they've accrued to the Ravagers by being Ravagers. And so like some of the Ravagers are like, descendants of World War II soldiers that were teleported out into space.
The reason Kraglin looks like a human, like a Terran, is because he's descendant from one of these World War II guys.
Yeah, man. I like it. This is a good theory.
Yes. Yes, it is.
All right. That's my theory for the day.
All right.
I dig it.
You're welcome, Marvel.
You're welcome. Use it. Yeah, no, but surreal. Like, I could see that absolutely being the opening of a movie, like a bunch of whatever planet, maybe it's not Vormir, maybe it's somewhere else, but they just start popping into whatever materialization out on some distant planet, and they have to learn to work together and build an army and whatever. It'd be great. Yep. It'd be wonderful.
Oh, man. What if one of those people... Here we go. I got it. What if one of those people that got blipped off to somewhere else was blipped off to Xandar, and that person that got blipped off was Sam Alexander's father?
Okay. I don't know who Sam Alexander is.
So Sam Alexander is Nova!
Okay. I thought that was Ryder. Isn't there Ryder?
No, Richard Ryder was the original Nova, and then Sam Alexander's dad was also... part of the, like, he was one of the next ones and ended up disappearing, and Sam Alexander found his helmet.
Okay.
Dude, became the new Nova.
No, now we have found the answer to a what if series.
There we go.
We couldn't really come up with a great one. We came up with a couple mix ups, but like
Namor thing, terrible.
Yeah, no, Namor thing was a good joke. But really good joke. Quick on your feet, buddy. But here's a great what if story. What if the Tesseract weapons teleported a bunch of soldiers? Because you could also have like enemy mind stories. You ever seen the movie Enemy Mind or Enemy Mind?
Not.
Anyway, it's like two enemies land on a planet. They don't speak the same language. They're literally aliens of each other. One's human and one's an alien. And they land on a planet and they have to rely on each other to survive. Like, that's the story. What if, like, on a distant planet, barren like Vorimir or whatever, a Nazi and a GI land together? And, like, they have to be like, we're the only humans on this planet. And, like, maybe the GI is a Jewish man or a black man, and like they have to like it's like American History X meets American
it's
History
like a
X.
Sci-fi American History X.
Yes,
like Vormir History X.
Yeah. Oh man. but you can't use X in a Marvel thing without it being, you know. Yeah, well then it's Vormir History X, and then in the last moments when the snap happens on Earth, one of the characters gets his X gene activated.
No. The snap happens and one of them gets dusted and the other one has their X gene activate from the emotional turmoil.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yes! Nailed it.
And then 5 years later, he comes back to look at the planet and finds his friend. He's back. Or his friend gets off the planet. He thinks his friend's abandoned him or something. I don't know. At that point, they've been there 80 years or something. So that's a little issue we'd have to deal with. They're close to a black hole, like in that interstellar scene. All right.
Yeah.
This stuff writes itself, guys. All right. Let's move on.
Oh man. David Pendergrass sent us a message. Black Panther 2 idea. Killmonger was here we come with Namor again. Killmonger was saved by Namor and the Atlanteans.
And the things.
And the thing. M'Baku has been running Wakanda without the royal family, fighting for thrones similar to their relationship in the comics. Utter chaos in Black Panther 2, as would be expected in a royal society. Namor can make an offhand remark about how his power has grown as of late. Encouraging him to invest more time into Wakanda because he's a mutant, his X-gene manifested. Sprinkle in a post-credit scene with a minor character developing weather powers. Boom, first inkling of mutants. I think Marvel is going to sprinkle mutants in around in a number of movies. They can't just introduce the character with, you know, a character group with the history of X-Men. Same like Avengers, they need the world to fear them. They need to see them as other, as enemy. Maybe the superhero world brings them in. Maybe not. Maybe only some do. But bringing individual mutants to the forefront in separate movies begins to seed the world with fear of these powers. In the comics, mutants are typically legions ahead of metas. Iceman could wreck most Avengers teams solo, as could Beast or Colossus. Kitty Pryde, the world needs to hear stories, whispers of their neighbors, family, friends, any and everyone changing in an instant. These children of the Atom need to seem like an unexpected infestation that grew from the snap/blip. And as Thanos said, the stones were reduced to atoms, sent out across the universe. It has begun.
Hmm. I like it. Those are all good theories. I'm really starting to get into the idea of the X-Men joining this universe. Like, David writes it very poetically there. Just them entering and feeling like a real threat to all the human beings. Love it.
Yep. That's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I dig it.
All right. Steve hit us up on Twitter, said, I saw Endgame 11 times in theaters. Yes, 11. I always took Thanos destroying the stones to avoid his temptation to use them for some selfish means. Quote, I can do anything and I'm bored, unquote. Never is him worrying that others would undo it.
I think it's a little bit of both. Like, even if he had regretted his decision or something, like, I think there's a little bit of both of it in there. But I do think that when he says it, at least the first time watching it, and on most viewings, I was definitely thinking that he meant himself. Which, what I love about that is that it further complicates the morality of Thanos. He's not only wanting it to be a, you know, egalitarian, you know, destruction of half the people where, you know, he's not even making the choice. It's just at random. But he also handles it. He also like realizes the temptation to use the stones, not only to undo it, but like for any purpose. You know what I mean? He could do anything he wants.
Yeah.
I love that moment. I love how Thanos is someone who believes in morality and like believes in honor and believes in doing the right thing. He just is really wrong about what the right thing is. And that's the best kind of villain, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you know, it's not that he's just like, I'm evil and I'm going to destroy half of the universe.
He's no Skeletor.
I'm doing this for your own good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then that kind of makes you question, like, is it for our own good? Like, what are we doing so wrong that he thinks that we need this? And maybe we'll stop, you know, destroying all of our resources.
Yeah.
Maybe. Anyway, that's a
took it dark. Took it dark.
Quandary for another cast.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. At AnimeNow90, Anime_Now90 on Twitter. This is at MCUcast. When are you going to review the second half of Marvel's Runaways Season 2?
Okay, I put this in here because we have been hesitant to do so because, honestly, it's just so old now. Because we couldn't get to it. And because there were a couple things in Season 2 that sort of took it out of it being reasonable that it fits in the MCU, which we've talked about a little bit. Since Kevin Feige has taken over the movies, we're also getting a big crossover. I think we should do a last half of Runaways review. We have a runway of a few months of no content. So maybe we could try to get to it. I will do it if Jeff won't do it with me. Let's do it, Jeff.
Okay.
Also, people that listen to my other casts will have heard me talk about this already. Have I told you about the video speed control, Jeff?
The video speed control?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, you have.
Chrome extension? Oh, man. It's
the Chrome extension that lets you watch things super fast.
Yes, you can speed up TV on pretty much any device. Anything in Chrome. So, like, Chrome... on your computer in Chrome, you can speed up whatever video you're watching. And I have been using it to rewatch things like before I have to cast about them. I've already seen them. I don't like to watch them the first go, but like part of me, I didn't want to read a Runaways because I'd have to rewatch the whole thing. But with video speed control, I can speed through that last half of the season and kind of like do a quick recap for myself. So I'm down if you are.
Have you used that yet?
Oh yeah, a lot. I've watched almost all of season one of Next Generation.
Does it affect their voices?
It speeds them up, obviously, but it does not pitch shift them.
Oh man, because it would be really funny if everybody was chipmunked.
So you can go like almost three times speed and still understand them, which is insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's not amazing. Like it would not be. I would not recommend using it on a first watch of something. But if there's something you want to rewatch before something else comes out, like it's a pretty great recap device.
I use similar little add-ons, not like a Chrome extension or anything. But whenever I'm doing a training video for certification or something, if I'm learning about DNS or Active Directory, anything for my job.
Yeah.
A lot of those classes have a speed control on them, and I'm just like, give me 1.3 times.
Yeah, exactly.
Because most of the time, they just talk so freaking slow, and I'm like, come on, man, I know some of this stuff, let's go.
Yeah.
I have a firm grasp of the underpinning of it, let's do this.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I do the same thing with audiobooks, things that like don't have a lot of acting in them, they're just audiobooks that are meant to be like downloading the information or whatever. It's not like an entertainment thing. It's just getting the information faster. I'll use the speed control and get through an audiobook double time or whatever.
Nice.
Cause you can get to where you're like hearing double time, like it's normal. Like, and your brain's just working a little faster. I like it a lot.
It's good training.
It is good training. All right. Last piece of feedback, I believe.
Nerdy Tastic sent us a tweet and said, "At MCUcast, it's weird that y'all think I was tweeting about Cloak and Dagger when I've never seen it. Maybe I get my tweets unjumbled, or maybe I should watch Cloak and Dagger."
Yes, this is just an apology to Nerdy Tastic. You should watch. You should absolutely watch Cloak and Dagger. We have recently taken on someone who is helping us out. I have an employee in my music business who works for me a few hours a week. And so we've added her to our – to do a few, extra couple hours a week for us here on the cast. And so we definitely can't afford like any near a part-time employee, but the music business and the podcasting has gotten to the point where we can do a couple hours a week of someone. And so she's actually helping us get our feedback together. So we're still working out the kinks a little bit, and every once in a while something gets jumbled or misplaced in our documents. So we just apologize for that. We're trying to get used to this system, and it's really helping us get more content out, which is why we're doing it, because the more content we can do, the better. And I think it's just right now we made a mistake here and there. So I think that's happened a couple of times where we've read somebody's feedback and it's been the wrong name on it or something. So we apologize. We're trying to work out the systems, and we'll do better in the past. So whatever we said about you liking Cloak and Dagger or not liking it, that was not nerdy-tastic. We apologize for impugning your honor.
Matt also just said we'll do better in the past. So we did do better, yeah, in the past.
That's a reference to the time travel thing from Endgame. We found out about time travel. We found out what Tony Stark did, and we care so much about the quality of this podcast that we're going to use that is our Vanessa. That is our Vanessa. We need to go back in time and stop ourselves from making Guardians mistakes. redo Guardians 1. Actually, it would not be the worst thing to edit that out. Edit some of that stuff out if there's bad stuff in there. I can download it, edit it, and re-upload it. That might work. But, you know, it's like Rebecca said. It's good to see that growth. It really is. It's nice to hear someone say I've grown, even if I don't see it on a daily basis. All right. Oh, man. I guess that's all of our feedback and news for today. We're going to be back with you in the next day or two with Venom. We're finally going to cover Venom.
So finally, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Jeff was not a big fan. I wasn't a big fan, but I see some value in it. I think that it's got some good stuff in there. It's clearly not a Marvel movie. But it's not bad. So, Jeff says opposite, but we're going to do that tomorrow. So let's move on. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Check us out at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, Facebook, all those places. And by the way, we're going to be dropping one in this. I think it's actually already in this feed, so you may have already heard it. But if you have not checked it out yet, I have a new show called Who Watched the Watchmen. It's following the HBO series Watchmen. It's just a 9-episode miniseries type thing. And we're going to be covering that every season. So if you're fans of this, please help us out. Honestly, go give us a 5-star review and download the episodes, because it really matters in getting our new show to more people. So again, Who Watched the Watchmen? We need some love over there. Peace
until next time, true believers.